Hello and welcome back to another episode of a Not-So-Brief History of Disney World. I'm your host, William Tintel. Make sure to stay tuned as I talk about my most recent trip to Disney World.
To all who come to this happy place, welcome.
Welcome aboard the Walt Disney World Express Monorail, our highway in the sky to the Magic Kingdom.
Yesterday, Disneyland and the New York World's Fair. Tomorrow, a project so vast, it has already been called a whole new Disney World.
All right, so I just got back from my trip to Disney World a week ago, and I'm just going to talk about today what I was impressed with versus what I was not impressed with, maybe like what changed from recent trips, my trips before, what's new that I experienced. I'll talk about Genie Plus, and then I'm going to I'm going to talk about Animal Kingdom too, so make sure to stay tuned. So starting off, I'm talking about what I was impressed with versus what I was not impressed with. And as you know, I'm an avid Splash Mountain fan, and it never disappoints. But some other rides that you see on my top 10 maybe moved up or moved down. For instance, Jungle Cruise, I'm not sure if it was on my top 10, but I think it was somewhere in the 5 to 10 range, but definitely moved up on my list. It was the Jungle Cruise overlay, and the last time I had gone, it was before they added the changes with the new monkey scene and the sunken boat. So I think it was a really good way. I think that's like the perfect example of how to update a ride to make it a little bit more, you know, acceptable now, to remove the scenes but still add some. And honestly, I think it was better. I really liked the new end scene instead of the old Trader Sam. It's still like a nod to him, and like, so he's still like there kind of in spirit almost. So yeah, Jungle Cruise, definitely super impressed with. What I was not so impressed with and what moved down on my list was really Animal Kingdom as a whole. I was there half a day, and first thing we rope dropped Everest, and we were going on it. You know, it's a great ride. I like that ride. We had gone backwards, and we were in the scene with the Yeti projection, and it stopped. It broke down. I don't know how long we were there, but we got an intro exit. Personally, I've always wanted to have an intro exit. I thought that was really cool, but still, like, the plan was to go on Everest, like, for a while, because that always has a pretty short wait time for the entire course of the morning, but that kind of screwed it up a little bit. So definitely there were some positives, because I think it was great, because we got exited, and you had to walk down, like, 13 flights of stairs, whatever it was, a lot of stairs, but then you got to see, like, the inner workings of the ride, and you got to see inside the mountain. So I just thought that was really cool, but I think a lot of people thought it was cool, but I could see it being kind of a downer for some people, because either it takes away from the magic, which for me, again, I've said this a million times, I thought it was really awesome, but for some people it can take away from the magic. It could kind of make your day not so great, because like I said, we had planned to go on it a lot of times, but we couldn't. They gave us a fast pass, but it took a while for the ride to get up and running again. And not a fast pass, sorry, a lightning lane. And it took a while for that to get even up and running again. So it wasn't like we got right back on it. And by the time we could use our lightning lane, by the time it was open, we had to walk all the way across the park from Pandora, and it was a 50-minute wait, so it wasn't like you could repeat it a ton of times. And I went on Navi River Journey for the first time, and I think it's a really nice ride. I don't think it's a reason to go to Animal Kingdom in any way, shape, or form. And I think the only, like, draw to Animal Kingdom, and it's something that annoys me, the draws to Animal Kingdom is Flight of Passage and Everest, at least for me. And I think these could be, like, I'd rather these be in another park. Like, Avatar, you could look at Hollywood Studios. I mean, you have Galaxy's Edge, Toy Story Land, you throw in Pandora, the World of Avatar. I think it fits in fine because, you know, they can do those seamless transitions. So I think that you could, I think I want to do an entire episode on this probably in the future now that I'm talking about it. But I really think you could do away with Animal Kingdom, or you could have done away with Animal Kingdom. And again, I think that what they did with Animal Kingdom was great. I think Joe Rohde was one of the greatest, like, visionary Imagineers. But I really think that Animal Kingdom could work at in another park. I think Asia, you could do Epcot. Sorry, you could do Asia and Epcot and maybe make it a little bit more extensive. You could have. All of this is could have. You can't do it now, obviously, because it's an established park. And again, this is no way shading Joe Rohde, because again, he's one of my favorite Imagineers ever. And I think he did a really great job with researching, studying, and just venturing out to try to make this as authentic as possible. But again, I really think it could be separated into other parks and integrated in other parks. And while I was talking about Navi River Journey a little bit earlier, there were a couple of rides that were new to me. Navi River Journey, I said, it's like a relaxing ride. And the Shaman of Songs animatronic was amazing. Like, it's very, can't say lifelike because it's not something realistically you'd see just out walking, but it's lifelike. And then obviously Remy's Ratatouille Adventure I went on. I think that was really great. The one thing that annoyed me, and I think this, I don't think this is something that makes you just skip the ride. The one thing that annoyed me was it was in French. It's from Disneyland Paris, obviously. It's a carbon copy of that brought over to Epcot. But it's in French, and then they speak in English. I think you could see this as something where it's like, oh, it's more authentic or something. Honestly, I think it's just laziness. But it was still a great ride. 4D was great. And I really liked, you can tell that Disney's going into screen-based rides. And while they're not my favorite, and I don't want everything to become screen-based, I think this is like kind of what they should go after. Because it used both screen-based and it also used physical sets. So I think that was great. So I think that's kind of what Disney should look at, see the success of, and kind of go in that direction if they're going to do more screen-based attractions. Second, I did go on Rise of Resistance, and I'll talk about that in a few seconds, how I ended up getting on that, because that's quite the story. Not quite the story, but it's a story. And it blew me away. I'll have to do another top 10 because this thing is skyrocketing to number 2, potentially number 1. I don't think anything can beat Splash for me, but yeah, it was crazy. It absolutely blew my mind. Coming into it, I didn't know much to expect because I tried to watch as few videos as possible. I thought I knew what was going to happen because I had seen a couple videos of the pre-show and obviously the Star Destroyer ship with the stormtroopers and you're looking out into space. But I didn't know much about, like, the physical ride. But when I tell you, like, I can't keep saying this, it blew me away because you get on to, you're in, like, 3 different pre-shows, basically. You have the first one with Rey, and then you get on the ship with you get on the ship and you get sucked into the Star Destroyer, and then you're on the Star Destroyer, and then you're waiting to go into the physical ride. And actually, it's 4 pre-shows. You're into another pre-show. When the resistance breaks you out, and then you're in the ride. Like, there's just so much buildup, and I think that's a really good job of Disney. And I think they did a really good job with making it, with integrating so many different systems using physical sets, screens, trackless. The trackless experiences I had, because there's not many rides that were trackless that I'd been on before. But I'll talk about Mickey and Minnie's Railway in a couple of minutes. I talked about Remy's Ratatouille Adventure. I failed to talk about the fact that it was trackless, and I'll talk about that now. Really, I'll talk about it with Mickey and Minnie's, and I'll talk about it now. I think that really adds to it because you don't know where you're going, and it feels a little bit. It feels more authentic in a way. Like, you feel like you're really there, especially on the Rise of Resistance. And I really think that it was just a really well-done ride. But I think it broke down too often for something that's in such high demand. I was heading over for the Lightning Lane, the purchase Lightning Lane. I was heading over for the time. It was for, I believe, 4 o'clock. So we were heading over there at 4. We got there maybe at 4. Let's say we got there at 4, right? We get there, and it broke down. We had saw it broken down already. It breaks down every day, basically. So it had already broken down once that day, you know, just checking the My Disney Experience app. It had broken down once that day, but we shook that off like, oh, that's the breakdown for the day. But it was broken down for a while, and we had an early dinner reservation that night. So it was... Do you ride Rise of Resistance or do you go to your dinner reservation? We were standing by Rise for, let's say, a good like half an hour because they said it's going to be 30, 45 minutes. So we were hoping that it's just going to be 30 minutes. We'd get on and quickly head over to dinner, which wasn't in Hollywood Studios. It was California Grill. So that's at the Contemporary. So it takes some time to get out of the park and Uber or Lyft or whatever, get over to the Contemporary. But they gave us, they told us it was going to open in 30 minutes. 30 minutes later, they tell us it's going to be a little bit more, but they did open the queue, so we were a little bit more hopeful. So we got in the queue, and they had told us already that our fast passes, or sorry, our lightning lanes would be good for the rest of the night, the rest of the day, rest of the night. So we were really hoping that we could get on, like I said, and go to dinner, but we ended up leaving, going to dinner, and then coming back. So, and we weren't back there till like 8:30. So we basically, the wait time all day was like 200 minutes, right? We basically waited 4 hours for this ride, and you can get very disappointed with that. And I was not disappointed. Like, I think that was really what I wanted to go on. That was like, if I literally could go on one ride while I was there, it was Rise of the Resistance. I was really anticipating that. I was really excited. And then I had 4 hours of build up for it. So definitely something that you could so easily be disappointed by. But I wasn't. It was just so amazing. Staying at Hollywood Studios, we also went on Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway for the first time, and that one was one that was really surprised me how good it was, because it's just a dark ride. It's not crazy like Rise of the Resistance, but the trackless system was really cool. The use of screens was well done, because again, it something about it just felt a little bit more than it was just screens. Because it did have physical sets and they used screens. It felt very cool because you felt like you were actually in a Mickey and Minnie cartoon, you know, from the pre-show to the end. And that one really blew me away. And that was it for, yeah, that was it for the new rides that I'd never been on. And speaking of rides that, you know, did good, did not as good for me and did very well for me, Carousel of Progress, I've always said that that's always been my favorite show, or like, you know, animatronic show at the parks. And it can't go up on my list because it is at number one, but I just, something about it, like that time just felt so much better. Satisfying. I really just love that show. I think it's so well done. And sure, it could use an update, but I think the fact that it doesn't have an update, it feels so nostalgic. Like, you feel like you're going back in time and watching this. And I know I've said before it really needs an update, but I think I take that back. I don't think it does. And speaking of updates, I still think that Tomorrowland could really use an update. And I went on the Speedway only, I just wanted to look, get a closer look at Tron, and Speedway is awful. Like, I just don't understand why the Speedway is even there. It smells like gasoline, which we're in Tomorrowland. Why should it smell like gasoline? And those cars go slow. Those cars go really, really slow. So it's not as satisfying. I think after that, as I was on the ride, I'm like, I'm doing an episode on the Speedway. It needs an update. And I think it could so easily get an update. I just don't think under the current circumstances that it will receive one, though. I don't think that Disney prioritizes that. Even we saw after the pandemic, but once they started bringing back construction workers and workers, they prioritized the hotel, the Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser. So that showed me that they cared a little bit more about the experience that was going to bring them in more money than something like Tron, which they didn't prioritize that. I don't believe they prioritized that one. And I think that construction's been going on since 2019. This is way too long, and it's not going to end till 2022. Cosmic Rewind has been announced that it'll open summer 2022. Tron is going to open sometime around the same time, I believe. And under the current circumstances, I think it could end even a little bit later. So that doesn't give me much hope for Tomorrowland. But again, while we're on what impressed me and what didn't impress me, Astro Orbiters, I don't know what it's called, one of the two. But that one, I don't know what it was, but something about it wasn't as satisfying to me. I almost felt a little bit uneasy on it. Yes, it does give you great views of the castle and the entire Magic Kingdom and all the resorts and everything, but something about it, like the seatbelt, it feels very unsafe. I felt like I was more tilted to the side this time. It just wasn't as fun for me. But speaking of things you can see, the castle looks amazing. I was skeptical of the new paint job for the castle, because seeing pictures, I don't think the pink really worked for me in the pictures, but once you're there, it really looks good. They decked it out for the 50th, obviously, and I think that makes it look, you know, even one more step better. And yeah, that really blew me away and surprised me how good it looked, because I had grew up with the castle being the blue and whitish color scheme, but I think this color scheme's even better. And also, walking down Main Street, seeing it, you have the Christmas decorations up, it all felt very, very magical, I would say. And I really enjoyed the Magic Kingdom more, I really enjoyed Main Street more than I ever had. And I've said before, Main Street's great, because it brings a lot of nostalgia, but I felt like I really enjoyed and took in Main Street a little bit more. And speaking of that, Hollywood Studios, the night I went to go ride Just Rise and then get out, we maybe ended up staying for a good hour, 45 minutes, whatever it was, after we got off Rise, right by Gertie the dinosaur, whatever it was in that late Echo Lake, whatever it is. It felt so Christmassy and nostalgic. They had the vintage signs, holiday signs up on the street lamps and everything. It really felt so nostalgic, and that's really Hollywood Studios really went up on what I was impressed by and what I really loved, because Hollywood Studios was probably my second favorite park. Magic Kingdom always gets the favorite just because it's Magic Kingdom. But Hollywood Studios was great. And then we were heading out, taking pictures and heading out, looking at Hollywood Tower Hotel, because the projections, I really like the projections on. I think that was a nice touch. So we were looking at the projections and on the Hollywood Tower Hotel. And then out of nowhere, they start pumping in the snow, which we found out was soap when we held our hands out. But I think that made it so much better and was a perfect end to a day that was almost cut not so great because of Rise of Resistance breaking down. So I think that was a really great end to the day that day and a highlight of the trip. What I failed to talk about so far is Genie Plus. And while I'd rather Fast Pass I liked better. I'd rather they just stuck with Fast Pass. Some days we hit it really good and we were able to get good times for everything. But something that annoyed me is something like Rise of Resistance. We clicked on it. We were in the lift, Uber, whatever, taxi, whatever it was, getting over to Hollywood Studios from the hotel. And also, I really wish there were monorails to these other parks or something like other transportation, because when you're staying at one of the monorail hotels, we're staying at the Floridian, when you're staying at one of those hotels, one of the big perks of it is the monorail, and for that to only be able to easily get you to Magic Kingdom and get you to Epcot, you have to transfer at the transportation and ticket center. But also, I feel like I wish that you could do that for at least Hollywood Studios or at least Animal Kingdom. I think that would really help. But off that, talking about Genie Plus again, we were driving over in our Uber or Lyft, and we were getting it, and since we didn't have like a good Wi-Fi connection, we pressed on it to try to get it at 9 o'clock, whatever the earliest one, 8:30, whatever the earliest one you could get, I guess 9. And when we finally completed everything, it was at 4. Like, I don't even know how some people get these 9 o'clock ones. You're the first person, you have the fastest clicking speed of anyone. You must practice that. But yeah, and then if you don't get it, you're rope dropping it, and that could change your entire plan for the day. Like, we rope dropped Toy Story Land, Slinky Dog Dash. But let's say we didn't get Rise. We were rope dropping Rise, but maybe we're a little bit later because, you know, we had to find our way over there. And for Rise, you need to get there super early. And we got there early. We, you know, before the park even opened and, you know, early. Rope dropped and we were like the second person on Slinky Dog Dash, but still, I think Rise, you really need to rope drop early, like super early. So yeah, I definitely think that Genie Plus could mess up your day, but I definitely think you could have a good day with it and get what you want. And the good thing is, like, while we were there, Splash broke down on our last day at Magic Kingdom. Luckily, we had gotten on Splash our first day at Magic Kingdom, but our second day, which was our last day of the trip, we were only there until, like, 2. So we wanted to get in Splash because, obviously, that's my favorite ride, and to end on that would be great. We ended up ending on Space, but we almost didn't get on Splash, but luckily, they let you do we got the Fast Pass for 9. We got the Fast Pass for Lightning Lane. I keep saying Fast Pass, it's Lightning Lane. We got the Lightning Lane for, let's say, 9 o'clock, or let's say 10 o'clock. It broke down when we got there, but luckily you're able to get it for the entire day once it's broke down for, you know, extended period of time. So I think that's nice. It allows for a little bit of flexibility and it doesn't mess up your whole day. Like, you can come back to that ride. But so we got lucky with that, and it literally opened. Like, we were coming out of lunch and we heard the screams, and we were about to go to the bathroom and head over to space because we had a lightning lane for that, and then we were going to leave. But we hear the screams on Splash, skip the bathroom, start over, touch our magic bands, and it was, because I was going to be disappointed because I love Splash, and I didn't want to, you know, not be able to get on it because it was broke down or whatever. So I was really happy that we were able to get on that. So we got on that, got on space, and I think that's a great, I think that's one of the best ways you can end your Disney trip, do Space Mountain and Splash Mountain to end it. It's really good. And then we took our pictures, headed out, you know, went back to the hotel, airport, back. But then I think that our best day with Genie Plus was the first day at Magic Kingdom. We really hit it well. We got, you know, we were able to get one fast pass after another. We got Jungle Cruise, and then we got, you know, Haunted Mansion, whatever it was. But it really meshed together well. But I think also it could easily not mesh together so well. But it was, I did that episode before. I did it on, you know, I did it when Genie Plus first started. Whatever it was, October 19th, and I think I said I kept saying I was pleasantly surprised, and again, this time, the overall experience was pleasantly surprised, but it could also be, you know, disapproving of it too, very, very, very easily. But yeah, I think it was pretty good. I think FastPass was better. I think if you just had FastPass, I think that was so much easier. But obviously, this brings them in more money, and that's just the way it is. So, yeah. Overall, it was a great trip. I love Disney World. And I did that Holidays at Disney World episode right before we went. And again, I just love the Holidays at Disney World. That was actually my first time seeing the gingerbread house fully completed at the Grand Floridian, because I think the last time we were there around Christmas was 2018, and they were just putting up the gingerbread house. Like, we were there, maybe we were leaving like November 7th, whatever it was, right before they had finished it, and they were constructing it, so it was really cool. And I didn't actually know much about the gingerbread house because I wasn't, you know, doing so much research about Disney World. So this was kind of my first experience with it. But now to go back and see it fully constructed and in the lobby, and, you know, every day before the parks, you see the gingerbread house. So I think that was really cool. And it was just a great trip. So that's it for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed. And make sure to like, share, follow, subscribe, whatever you can do to help get the podcast out there, because I would really appreciate it. Thank you, and have a zippity-doo-dah day.